Hey.
Hi.
Hi. You want to talk about hockey and stuff?
I always want to talk about hockey.
Always want to talk about hockey and stuff.
Yeah.
So we are going to deliberate on which Wild team is real.
Ooh.
Yes, indeed. Spirit of Hockey podcast. I believe we're on episode 12, although we're getting to the point now where we start to forget.
Yeah.
That
was a couple months ago for me, actually, got to be honest with you.
It wasn't a couple months. It was only a couple weeks.
No, I pretty much forgot after.
Oh, yeah. Forgot. Yeah. When you forgot.
Which one?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's all good.
Pretty much lose track.
But it is a Spirit of Hockey podcast, and it is presented by Northland Vodka.
Yes, it's my baby, Northland Vodka. Organic, 100%. Gluten-free, my recipe that I worked on for years and years and years and enjoyed a little bit too much of. So make sure you drink responsibly. But please, Northland Vodka, and we give 5% back to Minnesota through local hockey charities. It's delicious. We give back. It's 100% Minnesota, and thank you for your support. And again, please drink responsibly.
Yes. Where do you want to go first? You know what? Let's wrap the state tournament.
Let's do it.
You had a ton of fun, didn't you?
Oh, my God. Dude, it's just stupid fun. I enjoy so much. I feel bad to Jim because I don't even realize, like, I'm making all the sounds. Honest to God, until intermission, we're talking, he's like, I loved the ooh, ah. I don't even realize I'm doing that. I think I'm dead silent, being stoic as can be.
Yeah.
Waiting for my turn to speak.
Yep.
It's so much fun. And I remember how much fun it was as a player. And I can relate to so much of it because I grew up in, I was the kids in the stands, building the sign. I was lucky enough to be the player on the ice that got to hoist the trophy. And I was a player that one year got to get my heart broken and watch Dave Spehar do it. At least he broke Matt Cullen's heart that year too, so it makes me feel a bit better.
But I just want to reiterate really quick, that was a 5-0 loss. So you know.
Well, that was just Spehar's hat tricks. That's all you gotta remember about that year. Spehar
hat three hat tricks, yeah.
And so you get to see those legends too. Like, you know, who's the next Spehar? Well, Brody Lamb scores 6 goals and 10 goals on the tournament, which is obscene. Like, second only to like John Masich. I mean, come on.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that.
Exactly. Like, when you're getting up into categories and you hear the name Masich, those are like untouchable.
Time to take notice. I don't care what era he was in.
No.
His records, it's sort of like Gretzky. I don't care what era Gretzky played in. His stats are absurd. And more locally, Masich, the same thing. His stats are absurd.
The first thing I asked Jim, I know, was, how many games did they play in the tournament back then? Like, you can't do that in 3 games, for God's sakes.
But he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. Well, and those are the days, too, where you're like, there's no way this little Eveleth team can come down here and keep up with the big city schools, and he would come down here and destroy them. There are actually some, I don't want to get off topic, but you say that name, and it's just like, wow. There are some that saw him play that say he actually was better than Gretzky. Like, he just never got to get I think he went to war, and that's why I'm not the best Minnesota hockey historian, but I think
and I know us
the
war
interrupted.
Are biased, but yes. Like, I mean, I've heard multiple people say that he was the best hockey player that
ever lived. Crazy.
Yeah. But no, and that's, again, so there you go. That's what makes it fun. So now we get to talk about Brody Lamb and these young guys, and then watching the guys celebrate. Tough year, you know, with COVID, but hey, we got it in.
It was the weirdest.
It was just, there was a lot of controversy. There was a lot of, you know, people that were unhappy about whatever it was. I don't even care to bring it up, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Let's focus on the positive.
But we got it in there. The kids got to play in state. And bottom line, no gap in the history books. There's no gap.
Right.
There's a champion. It's continued on. It's just a lot of fun to bring up those memories. And, I like being at the age. I can't believe I'm admitting this out loud, but I like being at the age where I'm watching all my buddies' kids. You know, watching Reggie Berger, watching Joe Cullen now, as Cullen's Maddie's younger brother, win a state championship
Reggie
with Gentry
Berg,
Academy.
Roseville?
Anoka.
That's right, Anoka. That's
golden
right.
Go for great. Yeah, his boy Wes scored. I never in my life seen a duck under tip.
If yeah, that was him?
That was unbelievable.
That goal was ridiculous.
We watched on replay, and I just watched it once. I'm like, no, he got that. Sticks way above his head.
Yeah.
Like, that's high sticking.
He ducked down.
It's coming back. I couldn't quite figure out why they were taking so long to look at it. And then I watched the replay a little closer, and I realized that
it clicked in your little brain.
It went off the heel of his stick. If it
and
went off the heel
down,
of his stick, it can't go down. It's either got to go parallel or up. Holy shit.
Yeah.
He ducked under his stick straight up, and he's still under the bar.
Yeah.
That's incredible. The old duck under tip. I named that for Reggie, of course. He loved it. But those moments, those are so much fun to talk about and geek out over those little things. I've never seen a goal like that before.
I have never either. That was crazy. That was
unreal when it clicked into my brain that, like,
but I think
he's under the post.
I think he was trying to get out of the way, right?
100%.
But still.
That was preservation.
Doesn't matter.
That was preservation. He liked his face, and he didn't feel like getting it broken.
As you've said a million times, and many others, they don't ask how they go in.
No, they do not.
They don't ask, did you try to duck, or were you getting out of the way? They don't ask that. They just say, dude, that was unbelievable.
That's my form, man.
Yeah. Hey, back to Brody Lamb really quick. Where's he going to college again?
At Golden Gopher. Oh, he is a goal scorer. Just a natural goal scorer. He can shoot. Matsko's got a good one there. He can shoot. He creates space. He uses his space so well.
Wow.
He is a very, very, very good goal scorer.
There was no disdain. Is that just because St. Cloud State's playing for a title?
That very much. But I'm just old and tired now. Just lazy. Now it's just like, all right, let's just focus on the podcast.
Well, when you were on vacation, Pauly Martin joined me.
Oh, Pauly.
And he just... Yeah, I think he just called it St. Cloud State Community College or something like that. I couldn't actually get him to talk smack
because
that's him.
No, he's too nice.
Yeah,
he's far too nice. And yet we'll blow him up. And I still have no regret nor remorse. Love you, Pauly. No, he's just one of the nicest guys. The shine of light. I'm looking forward to seeing that kind of come back up in the year.
Yeah,
I'm glad he could fill in because we were on vacation. It was a good vacation. Got in all the Harry Potter world, but I think I'm still exhausted.
You went at the wrong time, by the way. I know you went to Florida, but did you see what was announced today?
Yes, I did.
In California?
But yeah. Avengers
Campus at Disney California?
Turner's definitely in on that.
Harry
Potter was definitely the family route. That was Gianna, our Hufflepuff.
Right. Hufflepuff. I don't speak Harry Potter.
That's all right.
I respect it, though. It's just not my thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would say that high school hockey was the weirdest without a crowd, just because you don't have the bands, you don't have the students, you don't have the sign. It's the most, like, I guess I still see the state tournament as the most pure form of hockey.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's just all that. Definitely different.
Yeah. But like you said, at least we got it in. We got good hockey.
Especially Tuesday was tough because they didn't even have music on.
During
the stoppages. No. So it was just silent in there. And we were in the press box, like, we couldn't see anybody. All the families, the few people that were allowed in were all tucked underneath us. So it was just zero atmosphere. So I felt bad about that. But then they got the music going. And obviously once fans got in there, and then when we saw the Wild game with the 3,000, it felt like more than 3,000.
Yeah, it did.
It really did. That was impressive. I was, the way it was spread out, I was wondering how the look was going to be. And just to hear, more natural fan noises. It was funny, but I didn't realize that I did not hear one single boo until fans got back into the
and that
Audrey
was
and I looked at you like, oh my gosh,
that was a decision
a
that was a decision made by I don't know if it was made by the NHL or made by the team, but why would we, because that's a natural reaction.
It startled Audrey and I the first time, like, whoa. Fans boo too.
I've mentioned it before, but I was one of the guys doing the artificial crowd noise, and the more specific cheers got. Notice you also didn't get "Let's Go Wild." Because it's not like you can't read.
Yeah, you can't.
You're just trying to provide some noise. You know what I mean? So, and then obviously cheers when they score. But yeah, I actually was pretty proud of a tweet I did the night before I did, because I did the April 5th game against Colorado, the first game back with fans, and I was like, it was nice for a change. Instead of people being marginalized by automation, automation tonight at the X is being marginalized by actual living, breathing people. It was pretty great.
And there was the one that was like, it was a pause. Like it was, there was, I can't remember what exactly happened. There was kind of the same reaction, but twice.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, cause it was the, I think, cause honestly, I think I was slow on the trigger.
So
the actual crowd, well, you know what? Here's the other thing I learned. I got crap from Russo and others too. Like it was almost like you hit the cheer button when it hit his pad. And it's like having the actual crowd back. They are that quick.
Yeah.
If you hesitate for even a split second, that's why that one happened. Cause I just wasn't like, I wasn't.
You're not right on.
Usually I'm sitting with my fingers on the buttons that I'm using. And that time I wasn't. I think I was taking a drink and then something happened. And then I, as fast as I could, I went and hit it. But it was like a half second after the actual crowd. Yeah. So yeah, it's, I'll tell you what, with actual people in there, it's challenging, but also it's challenging to stay engaged because you're not as important. You know what I mean? Like I was really just trying to let them do it and bring it up when needed. But anyway, that's not really an important topic to have, but we'll get to the Wild in a second. I want to talk about your St. Cloud State Huskies.
How about those Huskies, huh? Cinderella story, taken down to both
of
Boston
all years.
Schools.
This is the year they get there.
They never, you know, and I've talked to Brett Larson about it. Like he just, the character that they have in the room, they just compete. They just outwork and outwant it more. Obviously they've had a really good trap and committed D zone. That's gotten them thus far, but then all of a sudden they decided to play an old school 80s. Let's see who can just flat out score more goals against Mankato. Noah Walker gets the big redirect at 50 some seconds left in the third period for a 5-4 win. I was on air with the NHL tonight on NHL Network, and I just about lost the feed, the connection, everything. I jumped up out of my chair so much, and I was celebrating. Thank God I wasn't on air at that moment.
Right.
It hindered me a little bit. I feel bad. There was a couple of times I was a little thrown off and caught off guard because of my celebration with St. Cloud and work.
So be it.
I apologize for a little, a couple of, I got sidetracked a little bit there, NHL Network. But, come on, it's my Huskies.
I tell them, tough
second
beans.
Second Frozen Four. Now they're making it to the National Championship. Go Huskies!
I love it. Why did it take so long?
Didn't have the right players.
Especially like in the early 2000s, right? Or late, mid-90s.
Mid-90s,
that's right.
Come on. I'm old.
I forgot you are older. Yeah. But the thing is that you still feel young to me because I'm even older.
So there's that.
Well, anyway. Obviously, I'll be rooting for the Huskies.
Huskies.
It's so crazy because it used to be, like, I was raised in a Gopher house. None of us went to the U, but that's just what was on, right? Because they had the best TV contracts. It was the only thing that was on, but when I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
And then
I watched the Cubs.
But then you and I develop a friendship, and so it's like I kind of like my loyalty kind of shifted to the Huskies. But now you got Paul Martin coaching there, and you got my cousin who, I don't know if he's going to stay there or not, second cousin, really. It's not like we're the best of friends, but Wyatt Kaiser playing for UMD. And so it's now suddenly I'm rooting for every damn team in the Frozen Four, it seemed like.
You now know.
Yeah.
What it feels like to, one, play in the NHL for a while.
Yeah.
And to be traded. All of a sudden, you have friends everywhere.
Yeah.
And you feel bad for one losing. And you feel bad for what. And so this is what happens to us all eventually. This is the evolution of how we see hockey as a professional. And once you bounce around, you play from team to team. Some of your buddies that you grew up with are playing. You know, all the reasons. Friends in other places. I almost went friends in low places.
Yeah, well, that works too.
Yeah, gotta love Garth. And eventually you just get to the point where you just see two teams.
Right.
You see a dark jersey and a light jersey, and you just watch the game. And that's where you get to it. Like my poor kids. I mean, good Lord, who's your favorite team? Oh, the Wild, the Lightning, the Huskies, the Gophers, the Kings, the Sabres, the Stars. They're rattling off every hockey team they can think of. And of course, they can't remember them all, and who can blame them? There's a lot of teams there.
People, hold on. I want to interrupt.
That's where you have now, you now know what it feels like for us to bounce around. Finally, you just like, you don't even care who really, you care, but you don't, you know, there's some teams you're rooting for more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love my Islanders. I love.
Yeah.
I mean.
Absolutely.
Your loyalties get spread around a little bit. How about that?
I want to touch on one thing because you said people are probably like, what the hell is he saying the Gophers for? Nikki is a
my
Gopher.
My wife is a Gopher.
And so that's why that, you know.
But also to go along with you, too, where this started with Pauly Martin.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have just Pauly. Well, Bob Motzko and Garrett Reboyan. both played for St. Cloud right. and coached St. Cloud now there. So it's,
see, I don't have the loyalty to that so much, so but I, Paul yeah, Martin like for sure.
Get, yeah, and that's, so yeah, yeah you cheer for them.
Yeah.
Not so much, you know, the school.
Yeah. That's cool. You hope that they have success, but.
I'd be happy and I would congratulate them and I would just like put a mental block on it being actually the Gophers that right. won.
At the same time, if it ended up being a dumpster fire, then so be it.
It is what it is.
Yeah. speaking of the Islanders, before we transition into the Wild,
yeah.
Quick touch on the trade deadline. Love Kyle Palmieri and who again?
Travis Zajac.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's awesome. Especially with Anders Lee out.
You bring in Palmieri, who's a goal scorer. He's from Long Island. You bring in two guys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So he's been playing his hometown. Yeah. So he's obviously excited. He was one of those guys I remember playing my last couple years in the American League. He was in Syracuse. He and Patrick Maroon were in Syracuse. And I just, every time we put him, I'm like, what the Sam hell are these two doing in the American League? Palmieri would have like three just beautiful shots, snipes, and Maroon would have like two goals and two fights or something like that. And just right. be beating everybody up. So it's been fun. That's one of the fun things for me when I play those last couple of years, see those guys develop in NHLs and watch them now. So anyway, I got sidetracked. Let's go back to Palmieri and Zajac. You know, the Islanders, hey, they showed last year what they're capable of. They believe in it, not only on the ice as a team, the coaching staff, the whole organization, because Lou doesn't make these decisions unless he truly believes his team believes.
Right.
And the thing is in true Lou fashion, he brings in guys that know, you know, they come from New Jersey. Palmieri was Anaheim traded. One was drafted. Zajac was drafted by Lou. One was brought in by Lou. So they know Lou. So there's no like shock. There's no adjustment of how things are done.
Yeah.
It's like a plug and play style thing. Like they get it. They know what their expectations are of playing for Lou Lamoriello team. You know, that discipline, everything they do off the ice, that's just a little bit unique. Nothing wrong with it, just a little bit unique. They're boosting up for the playoffs, and that's obviously teams make that move not because they're boosting up to make the playoffs, because they want to make a run, and that's exciting to be part of as a team. I've been on that side where you get those players in, and it's exciting. It's a bolt of energy, you know. Hey, like, the team believes in us. Let's go out there and win some hockey games.
Wow, that is crazy. I didn't realize Palmieri has been as effective as he has.
Oh, yeah.
Since getting traded to New Jersey, 30 goals, 26, 24, 27, 25. He's having a bit of a down year this year. It's a wonky year. Maybe this is a fresh new start. And I would imagine it's easy to get beaten down in New Jersey. I hate to say that because I've liked that franchise, but it's probably easy to, you know,
when you're struggling,
losing has to rub off, right?
Like when you're struggling, it sucks. Winning takes care of everything. It's amazing how much fun it is, how easy it is to go to the rink. The bumps and bruises are funny. You know, when you're losing, everything drags. Oh, yeah, you laugh about them. Oh, I remember. You know, this was Boston. Enough. Yeah, this is how you broke my finger. Oh, you know, all that fun stuff. but when you're losing, it just sucks. It drains on you mentally. And so when you get to go to a situation, when you go from Jersey to the Islanders, where the focus is completely different.
Energy is different. Everything. Yeah.
It's like a whole nother planet. You're like, oh my God, this is how the NHL is supposed to feel like.
Right. Well, you know what? Something we established, maybe one of the first podcasts of the Parrish Fletcher podcast, is you said, if you're not going 100 miles an hour, you're dead.
Yeah.
And when you play for a team like New Jersey or like Buffalo right now or whoever, if you struggle year after year after year, I would imagine it's really easy to go, you know what? I don't have to take that extra stride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then
it's easy to find ways to lose games.
Right.
And it's just because of those details right there.
Right.
Those little things that add up, because there's just the room for error is so minuscule at the NHL level, just like any other major pro sport.
Taylor Hall will likely be on the move.
Yes. That's the situation that's kind of Buffalo isn't going to, you know, this is not the Taylor Hall that won the Hart Trophy. You know, he's slipped a bit. And so for him, a fresh start.
Some of that could be culture.
A chance. Maybe it is. But the problem is then now he's got to prove something right now.
Right.
Now he's got to go out and prove it wherever he goes.
Right.
And it's not like Buffalo is in a situation where they can really demand a whole lot because he has struggled. They've got to bank on who whoever they're training for truly believing that it is, you know, because of where, because he's in Buffalo and everybody's in Buffalo. But that being said, you know, Kevin Adams is taking whatever he can get, the best deal available for him because of that.
Well, and I'm, you know,
because Buffalo needs everything they can.
Yeah. It's unbelievable how much talent.
It's funny how it just goes cyclical like that, and different can't find the right recipe. It was just, you know, the Islanders were like that in a while, for a while there. Yeah, the Blackhawks, there's teams you just go around the league, and it seems like everybody's had those decades or decade or just moments, and that's, you know, it's cyclical. Even Detroit for a while. You think about that, how crazy that is. Think about Detroit. They struggled for a while.
Right.
And then it just kind of comes back around. And Buffalo right now is, they're definitely in the downswing.
Yeah.
They're downswing. But, you know, whether it's a year, decade, century, whatever it was, eventually it'll all come back around. Stay patient, Sabres fans. Stay patient.
Yeah. And you know what? In my opinion, for Taylor Hall, it's a make or break. And it's now or never. It's all the cliches because you got a guy that's won a Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
But he's also got a ton of skill. Yeah. And he's been traded how many times already?
Yeah.
And that eventually starts to speak to your character, in my opinion.
Yeah. And to talk about the question marks about the team that's around him. I mean, that's how he won the Hart Trophy in New Jersey. He didn't have anything around him.
Right.
He was doing. He had the whole team on his back.
Right.
So that's the thing. Like, he's shown that it doesn't matter who the players are around him when he's at his best.
Right.
You know, those are the guys you expect to make people that are around him better. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That made sense.
Yeah,
I messed it up there, but yeah, that made sense. You know, so that's just another one of those. That's why people are kind of questioning. It's like, wait, it's never mattered before who you're playing with. Why is it now? So the culture thing, yes, it helps him out a little bit, but not much, because he's, when you're that kind of player, Sidney Crosby goes somewhere else, you're still going to expect to be Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon goes somewhere else, he's still Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
So that's what he's, you know, he's earned that level by, you know, MVP. He's got MVP on his resume.
By the way, we'll transition to the Wild now and wrap it up. Nathan MacKinnon's goal Monday. You know what I'm talking about? In the slot on Monday, the loss, where he just kind of, it wasn't even a total toe drag. It was more of just a slip move. And then it's just like he didn't even lean into it. He just flicked it. I was dumbfounded. He's just, it was him operating in a phone booth. It's just, he's ridiculous.
He's at another level.
God, he's good.
He just, his speed, his feet are as fast as his hands are as fast as his feet, his hockey IQ, he only needs to catch you leaning just a little bit, and he's gone the other way. He shoots the puck, so you've got to respect the shot. He sees the ice so well. He's incredible.
Yeah,
he's truly incredible. He's top 2-3 all around best players in the league. He is mind bottling.
Yeah. but nothing he could do on Wednesday. Holy cow.
Holy offensive explosion.
Kevin and Kaprizov. It's nice to have a couple of guys with skill, right?
And that's what happens.
Let me roll that back.
I think
it's nice to have goal scorers.
Yeah. Game changers.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes.
You know, and the fun thing about that is now you get to see when both those guys are going, that's awfully good. But that's you look at the impressive thing about the Wild is they've had, you know, different scoring from different guys. Different teams have led the charge. Whether it was the Foligno line early.
Hartman was hot for a bit.
Then the Hartman and all that, like the Bukestad Hartman line a couple nights ago.
Zuccarello was hot as hell for a minute.
So like all these guys have stepped up at different times, which is just phenomenal. And that's what you need to be successful. You need to have that depth, especially coming into the playoffs. But, to know that you can... When you need to, you can score goals.
And by the way, how
can they score goals when it starts going in?
By the way, like, I think the last series when the Wild beat, because I don't play for them, when the Wild beat the Avs two straight, I think they were kind of down in their luck. I feel like there were a couple guys injured, blah, blah, blah. This was full strength, and they've been rolling.
Yeah.
And they came into your building and crushed you like they did the last time you played. To just turn, like, I didn't see that coming. Did you see that coming?
Nobody saw eight goals. Yeah,
but.
I didn't see that, but I expected a good game.
I expected a bounce back for sure, but not that.
Was, they played well for two periods. They outplayed them. You know, they actually won. If you look at the goals, they won the first and third period. But unfortunately, the second period, they decided to take a little nap.
Right.
So to know that, hey, we were that close, we only played 40 minutes to where the time of the year it is now. We're under 20 games left. This is time right. where you're getting your name, your game, excuse me, as close to perfection as you can be. Get the systems down. You want to be clicking on all cylinders going into the playoffs. So I totally expected a response. Also because they've been doing it all year. I mean, that's just the Wild I've grown accustomed to, which has been so much fun. So am I surprised? Well, hell yeah. I didn't see them scoring eight. But at the same time, I'm not surprised they won.
I totally agree with everything you just said.
What's about fucking time?
I am surprised. The thing that surprised me, whether it be eight goals or three or 15, I was just surprised at how dominant they were. I mean, they just rolled them. Like, it was they avalanched them is what
that,
they did.
They believe that. Yeah. You know, that was we were talking about that on air. But the first Avalanche, the loss. Sorry, I'm still a little tired here early.
Just
morning.
Get it together.
Audra and I were talking about that. Is the best part about this silver lining is they're playing well enough and they believe they truly believe they can beat that team. Like, it's, you know, doing a 7-game series is you know, yeah, they
different
think
thing.
They can do it,
different
but
thing.
It's just a different thing. But
right.
they have the belief, and that's the most important thing you need.
Yeah. Well, it was also cool to see, you kind of touched on it already, to see Kevin Fiala sort of go, hey, Minnesota, remember me?
Yeah.
You know, like, I know you got this kid, this cute little new toy, but I can play hockey. I'm pretty good at it.
It's like Woody and Buzz.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'll tell you what, the best of them all. I don't know. Fiala's snipes were pretty freaking great, but that pass to Kaprizov, my God. Oh, it's ridiculous that the two of them, A, that he made that pass, and B, that, you know, Kaprizov got it off. It was just absurd. That's another level that we haven't had.
The game changers, the difference makers, the superstars.
So which team is more them, the Monday team or the Wednesday team?
Well, the Wednesday team, but I want to say that with a preface that they're not going to score 8 fucking goals.
No. No, not at all.
They're just not.
The belief in the team and the culture and the goal, I guess, and playing for each other, that part is what you mean.
But they're a winning team. You know, bottom line, they find ways to win hockey games. They've gutted out and I guess I said it the first time. Good teams, great teams find ways to win hockey games, and that's exactly what they're doing.
And other teams find ways to lose hockey games.
Yes.
Like Buffalo. Thank God we're not Buffalo.
Ooh.
God, that is all. Take all the suck in the world and you just send it to Buffalo, because that's where
I've been there with the Islanders, and we were the worst team in the league. We had 4 road wins all year.
All in Buffalo?
4 road wins. No, they were not in Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
2 of them were in October, though. Think about that. We had 2 road wins.
You know,
season starts in October.
Right. Oh, my God. So
the rest of the season.
Two more road wins.
Two
the rest
more
of the
road wins. It was miserable.
Can we just rename them the Black Hole Sabres? Because they suck.
Oh.
Okay, enough. I don't know why I'm even piling on the Sabres.
Stop piling on.
At least Eric Staal's not there anymore either. He got traded to Montreal. He actually, I don't know if Montreal's for real, but he's got a better chance now.
Yes, he does.
They got a goaltender. You never know.
Yep.
Okay, very good then.
See ya.